so much for the privilege of meeting together today and every week here in this building and being your church. Lord, teach us how to be your church, to be the church that you designed us to be, that you wanted us to be. We don't have to be like other churches. We just want to be the church here that you designed us to be, Lord. Help us to reach the people around us. Help us to listen to your word, apply it to our lives. Let it make the changes that you want to make in our lives by your Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I need Sammy, auxiliary Sammy. Do you want to read today? Well, okay, well, Sammy number one is going to read then. Sammy. Okay, but I'm going to assign you pretty soon. I know it's complicated.
I mean,
they are the simplest
things
and most complicated.
Yeah, they are.
There we go.
Yeah?
Okay.
Yep.
Some nice reverb. I'll take care of that.
Yeah? Okay. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Galatians 5:22. And I was also given a verse.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Extra
bonus verse.
Yeah, gotta wait on that.
Oh, wait on it?
I'll call on you.
Oh, never mind. Not now. You gotta be patient.
Yeah.
We're talking about the fourth of the nine, what I'll call flavors of the fruit of the Spirit, as listed in Galatians 5:22. Now, many modern translations, in fact all of them that I saw, render this fourth flavor as patience. But different words in both Hebrew and Greek are used to describe patience on the one hand, and the word that we're going to be talking about today. So as a not recovering King James Version addict, I'm going to use the King James word, which is long suffering. In the Greek it just means long mood or long feeling. It's something that is sustained over time. So Scripture makes a distinction between patience and long-suffering. So what, you may ask, is the difference between patience and long-suffering? I looked in some Bible dictionary websites, and they were pretty unsatisfying as far as their definitions of both patience and long-suffering. One of those websites even had the nerve to define patience as the quality of being patient. Cheating. So after some reading and considering, I came up with a working definition of long-suffering. Long-suffering is enduring an unwelcome circumstance with love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control, which are the other eight flavors of the fruit of the Spirit. And doing so, that is, enduring an unwelcome circumstance, doing so when there is no reason to believe that that circumstance is ever going to improve. That is the best I can do at a biblical definition of long-suffering. Long-suffering is an attribute of God. Who did I give the card that had Exodus 34:6 on it?
I have that one.
Well, don't just sit there.
All right. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and the truth. Exodus 34:6.
Thank you, sir. So This is an attribute of God that he holds very dear. This is a very dramatic moment in Scripture when God is at most honoring Moses' request to show Moses his glory. And this attribute of his is one of the ones that he really wants to tout. He doesn't really talk about his power or his omnipotence or his omniscience, or he talks about his mercy and his long suffering. And God is calling his people to, as the scripture says, put on the long-suffering flavor, if you will, of the fruit of the Spirit with regard to the many unwelcome circumstances you and I encounter in our world. These circumstances include, but are certainly not limited to, the following. I just picked eight. First one, God calls us to exercise, put on the fruit of long-suffering concerning the deterioration of American politics and culture that we see around us, and how it has cast God, his word, and his values behind its back. Who has Colossians 1:11?
Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, to all patience, long suffering, and gentleness. Colossians 1:11.
Thank you, Jeff. Now, my wife and I attend a Bible study on Sunday mornings, and we have a family member that has started coming with us to it. And that family member is not very churched, and he was asked to comment on something, and he started going on about his political leanings and a particular legislator that is a very very liberal leftist socialist legislator, and our family member was really extolling the praises of this liberal legislator, and I was so proud of the people in the Bible study, because I happen to know that they, to a man, despise that particular legislator. But they sat and they smiled and nodded, and I thought, these people have got long suffering. These people responded with love and acceptance and total peace, and anybody on the outside looking into that group would think that they either agreed or at least didn't disagree with my family members singing the praises of this liberal legislator that I knew they couldn't stand. This is now exercising the fruit of long-suffering concerning our politics and culture is especially challenging, particularly to those of us like myself who follow politics, because the stakes are so high. As is often said, elections have consequences. One man gets elected to the presidency and puts in place economic policies that begin to reverse the drift towards socialism that has been happening in our country for the last several generations. Predictably, those who see socialism as a force for fairness and equity and equality are outraged. Then a new president is elected who immediately sets out to undo the anti-socialist policies of the previous one, and the country finds itself seemingly hopelessly divided. Almost everyone agrees that we are headed in the wrong direction as a country. The disagreement is about why we are doing so and what to do about it. C.S. Lewis wrote, "There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal. and their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. But it is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. The political world screams at you and me, pay attention to me. I control the money, the schools, the flow of information. Nothing is as important as I am. But if the Bible is true, every person has an eternal destiny. Every person is going to spend eternity in either heaven or hell. Governments and institutions, not so. So for all the clamor of the political world and all of its demands to be given the highest priority and all of its screaming at us, don't just stand there, do something. Our concern has to remain with the spiritual state of the people around us. As 2 Corinthians 4:18 puts it, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So that's number one on my list of things that require this attribute of long suffering for us. Number two, for those of us who are married, our mates. Colossians 3:12. I say Colossians 3:12.
Therefore, as the elect of God, put on feelings of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a quarrel.
Thank you, Richard, and I noticed you sort of stumbled when I wrote at the word feelings, because, you know, the King James Version says bowels, and I wanted to kind of, you know, gloss over there. God, the third one, God commands us to exercise the fruit of the spirit of long-suffering concerning the waywardness, carelessness, and immaturity of maybe our parents, siblings, children, or other family members, or just people with whom God has put us in relationship, whether we want to be in relationship with them or not. Who has Romans 9:22?
I do. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction.
Thank you. God is exercising long suffering toward the world, and we don't get to know, and we don't have an option about whether to exercise that long suffering ourselves, because we don't know what's going on inside the people we encounter or even hear about, as objectionable as their behavior may be. We don't know the direction that they're headed in, whether it's toward or away from God. The fourth way that we have to exude the flavor of long-suffering is with the Church of Jesus Christ generally and its leadership. 2 Peter 3:9,
the Lord is not slack concerning this, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Thank you, and I guess I left out the word promise there. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. Now, YouTube is going through a phase with me. It's sending me lots of Christopher Hitchens videos. And I, like the sap I can be, clicked on one of them and listened to Christopher Hitchens for about a minute. And there was a comment that came with the video by a person who had read somewhere that early in Billy Graham's ministry, a woman had written to him. Oh, he had an advice column for a while. And a wife wrote into him asking him what she should do because her husband was beating her. And Billy Graham, this is probably in the 50s, Billy Graham replied to this poor lady that she should stay with him, perform the functions of a godly wife, pray for him, and believe God to straighten him out. And of course the comment was just what a terrible, god-awful thing that was to say to this woman. And I don't know, obviously, how that marriage or that woman's life turned out, and I'm not at all sure that Billy Graham would give the same advice now. But the point being that just as he was asking the wife to be long-suffering concerning her husband, we have to be long-suffering concerning the church and its leaders. They are just like us. The fifth way that we have to show long-suffering is with our own local church and its leadership. Who has Ephesians 4, 1 and 2? I should have given this to Dan. But I didn't. I gave it to somebody out there.
Walk worthy of the vocation with which you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Ephesians 4, 1 through 2.
Thank you, Aaron. So, as a church member, I'm commanded to walk in long suffering toward my church and toward the people who have the task from God of making the decisions that direct the church. Number six, conversely, if I happen to be a church leader, I've got to be long-suffering with the people whom God has given me to lead, also known as the freak show. 2 Timothy 4:12, who's got that?
Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine.
Okay, so...
2 Timothy 4:2.
Thank you, Don. So long-suffering is not just a passive smile and nod, let it happen. Paul instructs Timothy to reprove, rebuke, and exhort, and manifest the fruit of the Spirit of long-suffering while doing so. Number seven, we have to exercise the attribute of long-suffering toward God Himself and the ways God has chosen to respond to the evil that men do. 1 Timothy 1:16.
For this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering, for a pattern to them which should later believe on Him to life everlasting.
Thank you, John. So God is exercising long-suffering with even people as evil as Paul. And His long-suffering is actually strategic. His long-suffering is a strategy that is at work to bring people to Christ. But I have to be long-suffering toward God and the ways that He has chosen to respond to the evil that men do. An example here, in 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 through 10, Paul writes about the appearing of this character called the Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So God's solution to the problem of people who did not receive the love of the truth so that they might be saved is to send them a strong delusion, that they might believe a lie? Truly, his ways are not my ways. I need to accept that my Heavenly Father knows how to deal with human evil, even and especially when it doesn't make sense to me. We have other examples. Remember how upset Jonah was when God didn't destroy Nineveh? He had to be long-suffering with God's long-suffering toward Nineveh. And my all-time favorite, the widow and the unjust judge, she says, she comes to him every day saying, avenge me of my adversary. And Jesus said, and he would not for a while. Now, how long is a while? It's longer than I want it to be, I know that. But God commended the widow for her persistence and the unjust judge for selfish and carnal reasons wound up doing the right thing. Last, number 8, but most, we need to be long-suffering with ourselves. I used to volunteer at San Quentin Prison, and I would go in one night a week, and there would be a group of maybe a dozen of us, other volunteers, and we'd get together for prayer, and almost invariably, almost every week, one of us in the group, and sometimes it was me, would say, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm the worst Christian I've ever met. I shouldn't even call myself or let anybody else call me a Christian. I'm such a failure. I'm such a backslidden dope. And it actually became a running joke. The rest of the people in the group would start laughing, saying, you watch, you're going to be kicking indoors. You're going to lead somebody to the Lord tonight. You watch. And when we got together for prayer after we went out, sure enough, he had the most amazing experience as an evangelist of his life. And that's why it became a joke. And it happened to me too. So once again, long-suffering is enduring an unwelcome circumstance with all the other 8 flavors of the fruit of the Spirit, and doing so when there is no reason to believe that that circumstance is ever going to improve. Now, you can make a case based on Scripture that God knows who is and who is not going to be saved. We have verses like my little 46:10s, Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. On the other hand, God functions in the narrative of the Bible as if he doesn't know who will and will not be saved. He's grieved, he's heartbroken, he corrects, he pronounces judgment, he becomes angry, he punishes. Whether we like it or not, and speaking for myself, I don't like it. God has committed the task of bringing the gospel of his kingdom to our world. I have failed far more often than I have succeeded in accomplishing that task, but I can't give up. I need to rise where I have fallen 7 times, disregard the temptation to disqualify myself, and keep seeing each person I encounter as one who is loved and valued by the God who sent his Son to die for me and save me. And for this, I desperately need this quality of long-suffering. Let's pray. Father, I'm thinking right now of a line in one of Bob Dylan's songs. I was born here and I'll die here against my will. But you have called me and each of us here who believes in Jesus for the purpose of being expressions of your love in our world, a world that mocks, ridicules, threatens, and tries to seduce anyone who sets out to obey your great commission to go into all the world and make disciples. Lord Jesus, you promised us disappointment, frustration, and failure in going about being witnesses to you. You warned us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves because you were sending us as lambs among wolves. So be it, Lord. Grant us that we may develop this quality of long-suffering because we're going to need it. In Jesus' name, amen.